All right, it's Liam. I want to thank everyone at the Oasis Podcast, as you were.
Hello and welcome back to the Oasis Podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis. I hope you guys are all right. We have got a cool episode for you today. We have got an interview with a returning guest, which is Jim Salverson from the Radio XS Manchester evening show, where he does loads of new music and Manchester classics, that sort of stuff. So always good to catch up with Jim. And we are going to be talking about the Masterplan album, because it's coming up to its 25th anniversary. Oasis have announced what they're doing to celebrate it. And so me and Jim dig into that, and also, you know, a couple of points around that. And then after the interview with Jim, I'm going to be going through into a bit of depth on what I would have done in terms of a bonus disc, a disc two, alternate versions of every track on the master plan. So I'll be talking through that, dropping in some clips, and it will be very interesting. And if you want to check out my disc two of the master plan, then you can head over to Patreon and support me over there. I've put it together as a like an album, basically. It's there as an episode, so you can just listen to it from start to finish as an album. And it's a very good listening experience. I've listened to it a few times in the last sort of week, and it's, yeah, it's really good, if I do say so myself. All right, so no real news to speak of, I don't think. So let's just crack on with the interview with Jim.
Yeah. All right, let's crack on then, shall we?
Yeah, cool. All right, welcome back to the Oasis Podcast. Jim Salverson, how you doing, man?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Yeah, all good. All very good. So, yeah, welcome back. Obviously, we had you on before when we kind of had that revelation that we actually like went to uni together and were on the radio at the same time but didn't know each other, which has been a little bit, was very exciting. But yeah, how you been?
Yeah, really good. Busy. Chaotic. I was at Noel Gallagher at the Withenshaw Park a couple of weeks ago, him playing his big homecoming gig, and I've just about recovered from my hangover from that event. So yeah, all good.
Excellent. I noticed actually that's I haven't watched it, but that's like on a on like a pay-per-view thing that you can log in and watch it now. I saw a few people kind of did a let's all log in and watch it at the same time together. So I do need to I will check that out at some point. But
I don't remember a great deal of the gig, and I've actually seen a few clips on kind of online of him promoting that 4K HD stream thing that he's charging 12 quid for. And yeah, each of the clips I've seen have gone, I don't remember that bit. No idea that happened.
Well, if you don't remember it, it must have been a good gig. That's what I always sort of think. And the show's going great as always.
Yeah, so still cracking on with the XS Manchester evening show, where we get to play a load of, obviously, the Manchester music and play a lot of new music as well. And one thing I've noticed over the last 3 months, which is really good on the new music scene, is there seems to be a big, and I've said this so many times over the last 20 years, there seems to be a resurgence in kind of indie rock at the moment, particularly in Manchester. There's so many brilliant bands coming through at the moment. So it's a joy just to be able to play all that stuff from particularly kind of like the satellite town that have developed these really burgeoning music scenes. There's so much good new music around at the moment. That's been a privilege of doing on the evening show recently.
Awesome. No, well, that is great. So make sure check out XS Manchester. Say there's a few people still like flying a flag. It's not like the good old days when, you know, when it would be wall to wall indie music after like 6 PM to 2 AM on Radio One. So yeah, so you have to find the good people where we can, and you're definitely one of them. But yeah, and so you've got we've got a big anniversary coming up, which is, you know, we always enjoy anniversaries related to Oasis stuff. And the master plan's coming up as its 25th anniversary. It came out in November 98. You guys are going to do some bits on XS Manchester to celebrate that.
Yeah, we're going to mark the release by doing a few things. I mean, you're never too far away from an Oasis anniversary of some kind, aren't you? They come around pretty frequently. But I think Master Plan, I know it's not a proper album, but it's still one of my favourite Oasis albums. And on the radio station, we're going to do two things. One, we're going to delve into that album because there's some brilliant songs on there that don't really get played on the radio. So we're going to play tracks throughout the week leading up to the release and get listeners on to kind of pick their favorites and tell us why they love those particular B-sides. So people can get involved on our Twitter or X or whatever it's called now at XS Manchester and kind of get involved and give their thoughts on their favorite tunes there. And then we're going to have a vote for the catalogue of Oasis B-sides, not just the 14 that appear on Master Plan, but the kind of whole back catalogue of every B-side they've written. And we're going to have a vote to find the top five Oasis B-sides of all time and decide the great B-sides and probably discuss why it's talk tonight as well.
Oh, wow. Okay, you're planting your flag right there, are you?
Yeah.
But I want to talk tonight until the morning light about how you saved my life and you and me see how we are. You and me see how we are.
Fair play. I mean, it's so hard because yeah, you straight away you think, oh yeah, Talk Tonight, that's definitely the best. And you go, wait, hold on a minute. What, you know, when I look at my kind of ranking that I did, you know, of all the Oasis tracks a few months ago, and actually if you look at sort of my ranking, my number one choice is Let's All Make Believe. Because I had as like my, I think my fourth best Oasis song or something. So that would be my number one. But yeah, and then obviously Talk Tonight, the Master Plan itself, I think I had the Master Plan quite high up. So yeah, the Master Plan would definitely be up there for me. But yeah, well, it is a remarkable album. I mean, I remember it's got quite special memories for me because it came out. So I just started at university in September or October 98. And so the Master Plan came out in the November. And it was one of those, an event in our student union where people were just giving out these the promo singles. There's the like a promo 12 inch, sorry, and it had like four tracks, two on each side. And they gave out the, you know, the Master Plan kind of logo when it's like a shield kind of crest.
Yeah.
And they gave out like cardboard things of those. And I held on to those for years. And I actually gave them both away as like Patreon gifts a few years ago. And now, like, you know, the Oasis Collectors Group guys are like, you know, pay massive money for those. I'm like, fuck, I should have held on to those, actually. But yeah, so that was just so cool to go out and get that Oasis sort of freebie. And then obviously I bought the CD, even though I had all the tracks on the B-sides anyway, but I still went out and bought all the tracks. And it was a pleasure. It's a strange listening experience because obviously you've got stuff like Fade Away from like late 94 all the way through to you know, Going Nowhere, and the two bands are like completely different bands by that point, and you've got Noel's acoustic stuff, so it's an eclectic album, that's for sure. But do you remember it coming out, and what's your overall thoughts on the album?
Yeah, I think what I remember about it coming out was, I mean, I remember I had all the CDs, or not the CD singles, I had all the cassette singles, actually. I remember kind of when I was learning to drive, having them in my car and having to change them when you kind of ran out every 20 minutes and kind of flip them over. But I don't think I'd quite clocked the strength of Oasis's B-sides until this album came out, because it was kind of just accepted that's what they were doing. And it's only retrospectively you look back and go, actually, the depth that the band had, the quality of songs that they could just almost chuck them away as a B-side. I don't think I really clocked that until this album came out and you saw, hang on, this is 14 songs that most modern day bands would give their right arm to write and release, with the exception of the cover on it, obviously. And here's a band that have just been able to piss them away as B-sides throughout the years. So I think that was the big kind of moment that I realized how in their pomp Oasis had been until that point.
Yeah, No, it is amazing, really. And obviously, McGee said in various interviews that, you know, he thought it was going to go on forever. You know, that's why they did put stuff like the master plan itself on a B-side, because he just assumed that Noel was always going to be knocking out these just remarkable songs, you know, three every, you know, couple of months.
But also, as you say, it wouldn't necessarily have made sense to hang on to those B-sides, because like when they got to Be Here Now, they were a remarkably different album to a band Definitely Maybe. Like Be Here Now was this coke-fueled, over-the-top, symphomatic, is that even a word? album, just incredible, whereas Definitely Maybe was kind of almost, it was quite basic garage rock. So there was this progression that meant actually those original B-sides probably wouldn't have really worked with future releases. So it kind of makes sense that they did it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And so it's one of those that it's been on rotation for me. It's always one I've been happy to stick on a CD, you know, back when, you know, pre-CD. And, you know, and it's gone on to be, you know, especially around the world as well, where, you know, especially in America and places like that, where buying singles wasn't necessarily a big thing. I mean, I think it's probably Americans do view this as more an album, probably more than people from the UK do, where we generally, Oasis superfans, did buy all the singles. So it was much more of a standard thing that, you know, if you were into Oasis, you bought all the singles. That was just what you did. And you had to get those tracks. So yeah, I think it is viewed more as an album. I mean, I don't tend to view it as an album. I don't tend to sort of include it in my album rankings and things like that, because it is just a compilation. And like I said, it's, you know, how can you compare an album that's got Talk Tonight and Half the World Away, but then also Head Shrinker and Fade Away? You know, it's such an eclectic mix. But I mean, for you personally, where does it rank in terms of albums like that you would regularly listen to? And would you listen to it as an album like that, or do you not tend to do that as much?
It's a good question. I mean, you are right in the sense that it isn't an album. It spans a long period of time. And actually, as a body of work, it doesn't actually make that much sense because it's so varied. I do wonder that, if those B-sides hadn't been B-sides, so if the like of Talk Tonight or Married With Children, is Married With Children on it? It is, I think,
no.
Isn't it?
No,
no, it's not. So if the likes of Talk Tonight or Half the World Away, if they had been full-blown single releases, whether there would have been a temptation from Noel to just kind of go over them and elevate them and actually, they're beautiful in their simplicity, and almost the fact they have been disregarded as a B-side almost makes them better because they are so simple and stripped back. But I guess it kind of feeds into the world of Spotify listening a little bit. And we're so used to listening to a stream of music that doesn't necessarily make sense consecutively. It can kind of go in peaks and troughs and go in different directions. You don't maybe notice it as much, and it's only when you stand it up against maybe Oasis so previous albums, or the rare case of albums recently that really do make sense as kind of a listening journey, like I'd say the Snuts' most recent album. That's kind of a great example of something that flows and moves like you're watching a live gig. It's got that kind of pace to it, but that's a real rarity now, so maybe you don't notice it doesn't have that gel as an album. But yeah, I think it's just it's a fun listen, isn't it? And part of that is because it takes you in different directions.
Yeah, it's an interesting journey. You jump around. I mean, what I tend to do when I listen to Oasis these days, if it's an anniversary, I will like, okay, you know, the 20th anniversary of Heathen Chemistry coming up. Okay, let's listen to Heathen Chemistry for five or six times in a week or something. So just to sort of reacquaint myself with them, especially if we're doing something on the podcast. But then most of the time, if I'm putting an Oasis on, I will put my Oasis A to Z playlist on shuffle, you know, and right, I'll just, yeah. So, because I really love that. The fact that you'll jump from,
you know, head shrinker to, you know, sitting here on Silence on my own. You're like, wow, that was such a jump. And, you know, it does really give you that interesting kind of range of the band. But yeah, it is a fun listening experience. It was great that obviously the rest of the world got to kind of experience these tracks and people could realize like, what, they've got all these other songs as well.
Well, the other thing is people don't necessarily don't get that it's a master, that it's a B-side album or it's a compilation. I was speaking to someone just this week around this re-release and kind of saying, oh, we should, it was someone in the XS Manchester office, actually, they should probably get their pass revoked instantly. But we were kind of talking about celebrating the re-release of the album, and they didn't know it was a B-side album. They never clocked that fact. So some people don't necessarily understand the context of it as an album in that Oasis canon.
I suppose if you didn't live it, you know, them coming out at that time, then it wouldn't kind of mean, you wouldn't view it in that way. I always think, I remember hearing on a Beatles podcast, and they were talking about the fact that the people that experienced the Beatles as the songs were being released, like they often released a Christmas single. And so I wouldn't ever think like I Feel Fine is a Christmas song, but a lot of people, it was like, oh yeah, the Beatles are bringing out a Christmas single. And it, you know, so they always associate the Beatles with Christmas, which is just so weird, you know, because for me now it's completely separate from that. But yeah, I suppose it is, if you haven't got that context of, you know, oh, well, actually, you know, do you know what I mean? Coming out in the summer of 97, you know, but it's so tied to these sort of certain points in time. But yeah, so as we get further away from that, that will be a bit more far removed. That's interesting. But yeah, so we are at this 25th anniversary now, and I just wanted to cover off the fact that, you know, Oasis, you know, management are, because what is Oasis these days? It's basically, you know, Ignition, are releasing this sort of 25th anniversary. We were encouraged, if you're on the mailing list, you're encouraged to kind of share these images and use the hashtag Masterplan25. And, you know, oh, what could this be? What are they going to give us? And it's a vinyl and a cassette and some pretty averagey t-shirts. And, you know, and the even the remasters, it's like they've made a big play of, oh, and it's the remasters from 2016. So it's like, oh, great, okay, thanks very much. Obviously all of the vinyl heads and the collectors are going to go out and buy it, but I just think, what a missed opportunity. You know, I've said for years, and I built the playlist on Spotify a few years ago, like Masterplan Volume 2, like what, why not do Masterplan Volume 2? Like, I don't understand why you couldn't just do that. And there's so many tracks. I mean, there's sort of, you know, I think total B-sides is like 40 or 40, you know, alternate tracks and things like that. But, you know, my Masterplan Volume 2 is Round Our Way, I Got the Fever, Do You Want to Be a Spaceman, Come on, Feel the Noise, Let's All Make Believe, Cloudburst, Step Out, The Fame, It's Better People, Take Me Away, You've Got the Heart of a Star, Idler's Dream, and Street Fighting Man. Like, why not do Masterplan Volume 2, get Brian Cannon to do the cover, so you've got that link, maybe even do like a cardboard box so you can do it on CD and you can have both your Masterplans on CD next to each other, you know what I mean? There's money on the table, boys.
Do you know what? I know exactly why they've not done that, because it would require Noel to do one of two things. And as much as Noel likes a bit of cold, hard cash, I think to do a Masterplan Volume 2, he'd either have to pay some attention and go back to that Oasis back catalogue and give it a little bit of love, which I think he's really reluctant to do at the moment, or he'd have to do the second thing, which he doesn't like doing, and it's relinquish some elements of control and let someone else come up with that playlist and he kind of rubber stamp it. And I think that's probably why it's not happened.
All right, here's James from the future here, just to say, we're kind of blaming Noel here for not wanting to do this Masterplan Part 2, but apparently it was Liam. It was Liam. There's a few people have said this, including Richard Bowes, that apparently the plan was to do a Masterplan Volume 2, but then Liam kind of either just didn't follow up on it, or he put the kibosh on it in some way. And so that's why Noel then stepped in and did his best of a couple of years ago. So, yeah, there we go. Anyway, back to Jim.
But I kind of agree as well at the same time that it feels like a little bit of a missed opportunity. And it is, like I said, you're never far away from an Oasis anniversary. They seem to come around pretty regularly at the moment. And actually, I thought they did a decent job with the the Definitely Maybe and the What's the Story re-releases. I thought, like, if nothing else, the picture discs were really nice collector's items. And to not even kind of go to that extent with the Masterplan re-release, not to do the picture discs and not to kind of go a little bit deeper. And I believe that none of the band will be doing any kind of PR or interviews or anything around this re-release either. So there's not even going to be any kind of additional promo content that's released. Yeah. You might see a little bit of archive footage and that's it. So it does feel like it's kind of been pissed away a little bit. And I do wonder whether that is partly to do with the regard that this album's held in from the band and from the management as opposed to from the fans. Because I do think it has got a kind of a place in Oasis fans' hearts, but maybe it's not held in the same regard by the inner circle.
I know what you mean. And I know, like, saying, you know, what you're saying there about, like, with the re-releases, you know, we had that, like, Return to Rockfield documentary that Noel did and things like that. So yeah, you would have these, like, little extra bits. You know, it is interesting. I'd love to sort of know a bit more behind the scenes about how these things sort of come about, because yeah, I see Liam on Twitter sort of when someone said to him about the Masterplan re-release, and he just said something like, yeah, something like, I had to approve some t-shirts or something. So, you know, so obviously there is still that, you know, they still must have to go to Liam and say, can you approve these things and stuff? I don't know, you know. And we know, for instance, you know, something that came up recently, actually, someone on Oasis Reddit had done a side-by-side comparison of the Supersonic movie and archival footage of how they actually removed Alan White and Gwigs completely, like digitally, you know, in some cases digitally removed them.
Wow.
And you think, yeah. And so I know that there are all these legalities about what you can and can't do. Obviously there's been the sort of, oh, can Liam include Oasis songs on the films he's done and things like that. So, you know, you do have those sort of issues. And I'd love to, you know, understand a little bit more about them. Obviously, no one from Ignition's ever going to come on and give us the lowdown. But yeah, I do understand it must be very tricky. And then I suppose for you guys, like, are you then trying to reach out, even with the relationships that you've got, people like Clint Boone, I know, has had Noel in before, isn't he? To then reach out to the band and say, well, okay, send someone in, you know, we'll happily kind of, you know, do an interview. But yeah, it's just been very quiet.
Yeah, I mean, we always try and talk to Liam or Noel around this stuff, and very rarely it comes on. Clint, obviously, Noel was his roadie back in the day when he was with the Inspiral Carpet, so he's got a good relationship. But even then, it's kind of like it's asking for favours, and it is twisting people's arms to get them involved.
Good afternoon, Clinton.
Hey, how are you?
How are you? I'm good.
Yeah,
how are you?
Good. Have you had a busy day talking about the new record?
About a busy week, yeah. Maybe. Not too busy. It's going to be a late one today, though. I've got radio shows right until 10 o'clock tonight. But it's all good. How about you?
Yeah, good, man. I'm back on radio 5 days a week doing drive time for XS Manchester now, so that's all good. Right. And we're absolutely tanning your back catalogue and your new catalogue.
Well,
we should do as well, shouldn't we?
Man's got to make a living.
Well, you have, and we have.
Well, both of us.
Yeah, absolutely. Great to have you back. Lovely to be chatting to you again. And with this record, you've broken away completely from your more traditional way of working, where I think normally you'd be sat at home writing songs on a guitar, then you go into a studio, get your producer, get on with it. It sounds like this has been a completely different approach, working with David Holmes. Is that right? Have you been using the studio as an instrument this time?
Yeah, well, I'm not sure what that thing actually means, but it was all conceived in the studio, so he didn't want me to write any songs outside of the studio, so he was there at the genesis of an idea, so he could point me away from anything that I'd done before.
Yeah.
So, which is why the bulk of it, it's not all a complete departure, but I'd say 80% of it is kind of things that you wouldn't associate me with. But it was an incredible voyage of discovery, I've got to say.
Even the likes of kind of Bonehead, who's been knocking around Manchester for a while, obviously he's had his health issues recently, but he doesn't get put up for this stuff as much as you might think. I mean, so I think this will be a low-key re-release from that point of view, but maybe the band are saving themselves for something next year, who knows.
Yeah, I mean, that does sound like definitely maybe 30 will be the big thing. I don't think it will be a full-blown reunion, but I think that, you know, there will be some good stuff. And obviously Liam's talking about...
Do you know what? With the reunion stuff, I've always said it's never going to happen, and I didn't think it was going to happen, and it's always been off the table. But without going into specifics, I've heard a few things off a few people recently that, I mean, who knows whether it's pub chat or whether it's them making stuff up or whether they've actually got contacts with people. But there's some kind of like interesting stories that are emerging about, if it was going to happen, exactly the logistics of how it would happen. So I've gone from being like, yeah, there's a 5% chance it'll happen, to maybe being 50-50 for something happening next year.
That's interesting. Okay. Yeah, no, see, the rumor I'd heard, and I say I just don't know if this is complete BS or coming from somewhere, was not next year, but the year after, that summer 2025 right. would then be, you know, Wembley, Etihad shows. But yeah, it'd be great if they did do something for definitely maybe properly next summer. But I don't know. We know Liam's recording, so typically that would mean then he would be promoting his new album next year.
Yeah, this is true.
Yeah, so I don't know, but it is a tricky
Plenty
one.
Of time for them to fall out again by then, though, isn't it?
Yeah, like, absolutely.
It might be on now, but if you're talking like 12 months, 24 months, they're going to hate each other again.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. Well, look, and what else? So what would you have done? I mean, if you've got is there sort of other Oasis B-sides that you personally would, you know, would you have had a separate Masterplan Volume 2, or what would you have liked to have seen in this sort of release?
I think it's always difficult to mess with anything that people love, and I don't think you're going to please everyone if you're going to go back and kind of go for a Masterplan Volume 2. And obviously your knowledge and depth on Oasis goes far beyond anyone else. I mean, some of the B-sides you mentioned in yours were ones I was like, I don't remember that even a little bit. I think it's a great album. I just like, it's also, for me, it's the album that kind of I learned the guitar to a certain extent. Then I remember buying the music notes, whatever they call those books, the chords and whatnot, and kind of sitting down and trying to play every song off the album. So emotionally, there's a kind of a connection for me beyond what Oasis did with it. And I just think, I mean, I could probably do without the live version of I Am the Walrus. I've always thought that's been a little bit of an outlier on the album. I think it's a weird one to include. But other than that, I think they got it pretty much spot on. There's not too much I'd change about it.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. It is a bit unusual one to have it on there, especially like right in the middle of the album as it is. It's like, okay, that's a strange place to put it. But yeah, no, I know what you mean. It is good. I mean, the other thing that I thought would be good would be like the one thing that the Oasis haven't given us. Obviously, we had the Oasis Nebworth album and film, but we know that there's professionally recorded live stuff. You know, the Cardiff show in 96 was professionally recorded. There's loads of professionally recorded stuff that we've just never had. So, you know, why not have a second disc of live versions of a lot of these songs, you know, or demos of a lot of these songs, that sort of thing. That would have been great. Would have been a little bit more. But obviously, like you say, that's going to mean Noel having to engage in it when he's probably got more interesting things to do with his time. So, yeah, understandable. Jim, well, look, thanks so much for coming on, mate. So where can the kids find you online and on the radio?
So, yeah, if you're in Manchester, then 106.1 is the frequency, obviously available on DAB. You can get the XS Manchester app. If you're not online, that's in the App Store, the Android Store, and you can listen there. And smart speaker as well. It's all the normal places that you find radio stations, basically. And you can find me specifically, if you're that way inclined, between 6 and 10. That's when the evening show is. And like I say, load of indie anthems, loads of Manchester classics, not just Oasis, but from the normal likes of New Order, Joy Division, Elbow, etc., etc. And obviously, yeah, sprinkling of new music as well, from not just inside Manchester, but from outside as well.
Cool. And I tell you what, we normally finish with the Oasis song and the guest choice, but I think we probably did that last time with you. So why don't you give us a new music pick, and I'll drop a clip of that in now.
Oh, that's a good choice question. What am I liking at the moment? I'll tell you what, I'll recommend my current record of the week on the Excess Manchester Evening called Seb Lowe. He's 20 years old. He's quite, if you like Declan McKenna, you're probably going to like Seb Lowe as well. Really individual, really quirky. He is set for superstardom, I think. His new tune, Billionaire Extraordinaire, is a cracker. So go check that out.
Oh, all right. Well, we'll check out a bit of Seb Lowe. But Jim, thank you so much, mate. Great to speak to you and catch you again soon.
Cheers, mate. Speak soon. Wages, life support, and the hurricanes, and the gigs and tours. I'm running off the contrast, so you can't catch me. I'm too fast. West side, but we still get high these days. Bell when our conversation turns to I don't want to think or do. I want to tear the world apart so I can ask if they're offended. You look in the mirror, who do you see? See yourself, but not quite like yourself. You hate yourself.
I really like that. Great. Really good track from Seb Lowe. Definitely someone to keep an eye out for. Thank you very much to Jim for bringing us to bringing him to our attention. And yeah, thanks to Jim for coming on the show and having a chat through the master plan. Really, really good to catch up with Jim. He's a top man. Right. So next up, I just wanted to talk about what I would have done as a master plan bonus disc. So as we talked about, you know, Oasis's release this time around has been very basic. It's just a album put out again, same artwork, same everything. Just the only difference is the remastered versions from 2016 are being used instead of the old version that went out on the CD, which, you know, is what it is. And yeah, and there's some t-shirts on the website now, which are very basic, just plain coloured t-shirts with the little master plan style crest, which is not that exciting. And yeah, and the album's going to be released on cassette, CD and vinyl. And it's not like, as Jim said in the interview, it's not even a picture disc. So it's not even like a particularly cool vinyl disc. It is just vinyl. So that's it. It's not that exciting at all. What I would have done, as I said, I would have done, like I mentioned in the interview there, I would have done a volume two or part two, and that would have had my next favourite songs, which I've done a Spotify playlist of them, so I can link that below. And I also would have done a bonus disc. So the bonus disc is an alternate version of each of the individual tracks that are on the master plan. Now, looking at this, I really wanted to get a bit of a mixture of some live, some demos, some alternate versions, some very famous ones, some less famous ones. The only thing that I really wanted to do was only release things that have not been released officially, as in on streaming, you know, or on sort of CD or vinyl or whatever. So none of these have had an official kind of proper release as such. And we'll go through, as we go through, we'll sort of point out where you can get hold of them. And yeah, and the fact that they just do sound excellent when you compile them on an album, which I have done, as I mentioned, over on Patreon. So do go and check that out, patreon.com/oasispod. But let's just go through it, shall we? So track one is Acquiesce. And for Acquiesce, I've gone with the Main Road 1996 version. Yes. Yes, I know it's the obvious choice, but it had to be done. I actually went through quite a few live versions of Acquiesce, and I just kept coming back to this one. I think it sounds the best.
And so, yeah, I wanted to do it. Some of the live versions of Acquiesce, Noel wobbles a bit on the chorus. He doesn't here. He just sings it really well. So this has been released. Obviously, it was on the There and Then VHS and DVD, but it's never been officially released as audio. So, yeah, so I think that is a great way to start the album. Number two is Underneath the Sky. Now, they never officially played it live as a band, and there's no demo or alternate version. So we're struggling a little bit. But what we do have is that Noel played it live on French radio in 1997. So what I've dropped in here is this live radio version. And it's quite nice, actually. It's quite good fun. So it's very different from the finished article, which is a really interesting Oasis track and very strangely produced, but it's a one I really like. And this is a very cool rare version. Well, you say rare these days, if it's on YouTube, it's not really rare, is it? But it's on YouTube, so here it is.
Acoustique inédit avec Noël Gallagher sur Énergie, car si ce soir vous ne pouvez pas aller voir Oasis, Énergie vous l'offre version acoustique. Voici maintenant Underneath the Sky. Tyler sleeping alone. He has no faith and he has no name. His whereabouts are sort of unknown. All he needs is his life in a suitcase. It belongs to the friend of a friend. And as we drink to ourselves, we'll amuse ourselves. Underneath the sky, underneath the sky again.
All right, number three, we have Talk Tonight. So Talk Tonight, I have gone with the version on The White Room featuring Paul Weller in 1995. So I love The White Room performances. I think that could be an album in itself, you know, just collate The White Room tracks, because it's brilliant. There was just something about that show, the passion of it and the sound. And the stark whiteness of it. It's some of my favourite Oasis performances. It really is peak Oasis for me. Was at the time and still is now. So I would love a White Room kind of live album in itself, a White Room collection. Well, you have Peel Sessions collections, don't you? So why not a White Room collection? But yeah, great version. Love this. I mean, Weller... His organ playing is amazing. His backing vocals are just ridiculous. And when you hear him kicking in with all his like real soulful backing vocals, you think, wow, what a singer he is, you know. And as much as I love Noel and Liam, I mean, what Weller brings is really, really special. So, amazing. At the time, you know, him performing with Weller. Also, we had like, you know, Damon performing with Ray Davies. It was that lovely time where the generation lines were being crossed, and it was really special to see Weller and Noel together. So Talk Tonight, White Room with Paul Weller.
Hear me, somewhere right between the eyes, sleeping on a plane, you know you can't complain. Took your last chance. Once again I landed, stranded, hardly even knew your name. But I wanna talk tonight.
All right, number four is a track that has resurged recently because Noel's been playing it live. It's Going Nowhere. Now, I am going here for the demo, which came out as a free download prior to the Be Here Now re-release in 2016. So this was never, while it has been officially released, obviously, because it was available as a free download, it's not officially been released. So it's not on Spotify. It wasn't on any of the Be Here Now kind of session albums or anything. So I don't quite know why. Maybe they just wanted to keep that free download special. I don't know. But yeah, it's a really great demo, and it just shows. I mean, we don't know exactly when it was recorded. It's probably 93. It's from that set of Mark Coyle recordings at Maldeth, M-A-U-L-D-E-F. I think it's Maldeth Road West Studios, So it's around that time, 92, 93. So it's really, really early. And it's interesting. There's a few sort of lyrical changes and things that what he ended up doing. But it's just brilliant. I think that, you know, when he's singing, you know, I want to get me a motor car, maybe a Jaguar, you know, that's because he was genuinely skint. Whereas then by the time he's singing it in 1997, it's kind of ironic then because he's got all those things. So he didn't have a Jaguar. He had a Rolls Royce, but there you go. Great version here. The other thing I was thinking about putting on was an instrumental version or like a, it's nothing, they haven't made it available, but, you know, if they did a version with, say, just the strings and the horns, I think that would be great. You know, that'd be really interesting. So, I've not gone for that because it's not really available. There's a couple of instrumental kind of versions that have been put on YouTube, but they're not real ones. They're fake ones that people have put together, and they always have that sort of weirdness where you can kind of still hear it. It doesn't sound brilliant, but happy to go with the demo.
Different versions of many men have come before you came. All their questions were similar, the answers were just the same. I could do with a motor car, maybe a Jaguar, maybe a plane or a day of fame. I wanna be a millionaire, so can you take me there? I wanna be wild, cause my life's so tame. Here am I, going nowhere on a train.
Alright, next up we have Fade Away. And so in this case, I have gone with the Glasgow Barrowlands performance from 2001. I think it was brilliant that they brought back Fade Away into the set, having not played it for years. To bring it back in 2001 was great. I thought that the version they did was amazing. The other option, I suppose, could be the Help album version. Also, the demo is also available, but both of those have been officially released. So no, I don't think I would go with those. Let's go with a live version and the full-on punk version. This tour, I think Oasis Mark II were really at their peak. This is the one where I even like the version they did of Columbia, so that says a lot. But anyway, Fade Away, Glasgow Barrowlands, 2001. Okay, six, we have the Swamp Song. So Swamp Song's a tricky one because, I mean, it was a strange inclusion on the album, to be honest. Why would you bother, really? It's probably the weakest track on the album, I'd say, because it's kind of pointless. But, it is really cool, and it was great as a song for them to come on to. So I sort of wanted to pick, a live version of it that was interesting. So I have gone with, from Cardiff, March 1996, which you will know if you're a long-time listener, was my first ever Oasis gig. So I really wanted to include something from Cardiff. And when I looked at all the other tracks, there was sort of other versions that I sort of prefer. So I just thought, hey, well, why not? Let's put in this the Swamp Song from Cardiff. It's really great. It's really fast. You can tell the guys are really up for it at this point. This was a great time. You know, Oasis were on fire around early 1996, before they then went to like the more stadium show setup. You know, so Noel's still doing his acoustic set, and it was just a really, really special night, special gig. And so, yeah, the Swamp Song is great. And you get the little bit where Liam says, you know, Cardiff in the area at the end. So that's really cool. So very happy to have this one.
We'll be right back.
Right, number seven, we have I Am the Walrus. And here I was torn because I thought, well, why not? This would be a perfect time to have the Sawmill Studios version that we know has just resurfaced recently. You know, for years we always wondered, is there really an I Am the Walrus in the studio? And we didn't think there was. Oh, we thought, you know, there's rumours that we had it. Brian Garcia's got it. And now we've got it. You know, it is out there and it's sort of, you know, you could get hold of it through downloads and it is now on YouTube. So, yeah, so it is out there for everyone to hear. But I'm the Walrus. I did think about that, but I've gone against that because surely, come on, that Sawmill Studios CD should just be its own thing. You know, that needs to get an official release. Come on, Oasis, have a chat with the guys. Let's get that out as a proper release. You know, we've got Definitely Maybe 30 coming next year. That would be absolutely ideal to tie in with Definitely Maybe 30 coming. So, yeah, that would be brilliant. So what I've gone with instead is the Earl's Court 1995 version. Now, you guys know, if you've listened to this podcast, that I absolutely love this. This is probably my favourite version of I'm the Walrus, except the Beatles one, obviously. And the reason for it is primarily that you've got the bootleg Beatles there. You've got the horns and everything going, which is great. You've got the, you know, the added like beefed up woos when, you know, which is just really, really good. And it's just there's a real passion to it. Once again, this is peak Oasis, really going for it. Beefed up sound. Absolutely love it. Liam's amazing on this recording. So, and it's also a little tribute to Andre Barrow, George, who is in the beat, you know, George from the Bootlegs, who you see on the video and everything, who died recently. So, so yes, very happy to include this as a tribute to him. All right, next up we have number eight, Listen Up. Now, this is another interesting choice because there's lots of different versions of Listen Up. I'm going to go with Vancouver in 1995. Now, this is probably the best live recording we've got of it because it was a soundboard recording. So, so yeah, it's an excellent recording and it's a tough one for Liam to sing because it's very, very high. And they don't sort of attempt to move the pitch down, I don't believe. So, or the key, sorry, key, pitch, whatever. I'm not a musicologist, leave me alone. But yeah, I think Liam does a great job here. Yeah, he wobbles a bit, but that's part of the charm of this track. Love how Liam sings it. Fantastic stuff. So, yeah, we're going Listen Up, Vancouver, 1995. All right, Rocking Chair. So this is a tricky one because, you know, we haven't really got many other options with it. There is a demo version, but that has been released officially. So we can't go with that. So what we're going with is they only played it, I think, three or four times. So and the only recorded version we're aware of is from Bournemouth in 1995. And I've got to give thanks here to James Hargreaves of the James Hargreaves Guitar YouTube channel. He put this up on his YouTube channel and he remastered it. So he kind of tidied it up and made it sound a bit clearer because it's not the best recording. I think it's just like a fan recording. So he sort of really improved it. So I would include it on here. Obviously, we'd try and get a better recording if it was going to be on the actual album. But I think it's good enough. So, and it's a very, very different sound. You know, they've gone full electric with it,
which is a strange choice. I mean, I love the acoustic guitars in Rocking Chair. I think it's absolutely incredible. Here, rocked up like this, it's interesting, it's different, but yeah, it wouldn't be my choice for that song. But yeah, but it's definitely interesting and makes for a great track on this album. All right, number 10, we have Half the World Away. Now, we've got loads of options here. Obviously, Noel's played it a number of times, but I have gone with Union Chapel 2006. So the reason for this is I really love that sort of series of gigs that Noel Gem and Terry Kirkbride did in 2006. It was a great little kind of mini tour that they did. You know, they did a few different sort of covers like Strawberry Fields Forever and things like that, which was really cool. This is a lovely version of Half the World Away. What the guys bring to it is really interesting. It's stripped down, but it's got sort of extra sort of flourishes and things, and Noel sings it beautifully as he always does. So yeah, I really wanted to, as I said, get a nod for that 2006 tour, and and this is a good place to highlight that. Half the World Away, Union Chapel. All right, 11, we have It's Good to Be Free. And with this one, I'm going back to The White Room. As I said, I would have The White Room Sessions as an album on its own, but we're going to go with The White Room here. This is a great version. You know, I can't help but listen to it without having that image of Liam drenched in sweat, just really giving it. And, you know, it's just so moody and dark. It's such a weird and interesting song. You know, I every time I listen to it, I'm just sort of intrigued by it. Just something really special about that one. And yeah, it's a great version. It's a brilliant version. Liam sounds great. The whole band is just absolutely on top form. So fantastic stuff. All right, number 12, we have Stay Young. So there is a demo, as we know, but it has been officially released. So I have gone with GMEX 1997, the live show that was put out on MTV. Once again, another one that we've got a good recording of, so why not release an album? But as it is, let's go with this one coming out here. They performed it in 1997. They performed it 43 times, but then they didn't play it again after that, potentially because it's so high. So Liam sort of struggles to sing it. But it's famously the closing theme to a well-known indie podcast, which means it always holds a special place in my heart. So here is Stay Young from GMEX 1997. Yeah. All right, two left. We have Head Shrinker. Now, Head Shrinker, there's a few sort of interesting versions of it that you can check out. I was going to go with one of the more obscure versions, but listening back to quite a few, I just kept going back to Live by the Sea, Southend, 1995. You know, that's one of my favourite ever Oasis gigs. I had the VHS tape. That's probably really what made me an Oasis super fan, to be honest, just watching that over and over again. I just love it so much. I can still kind of picture everyone on the front row, that geezer with long long curtains. But yeah, I absolutely love it. It's so rocking. It's so full on. You know, it's got that real like Faces, like 70s, you know, glam. But it's also very punky. Just a brilliant, brilliant track. So yeah, absolutely. Head Shrinker, Southend, 1995, the Live by the Sea. All right, 14, the final track is The Master Plan. And so, yeah, loads of options again. I've always loved the Nebworth version of The Master Plan, but obviously Nebworth has officially been released now, so that means that's off the table. Main Road, Noel's Court, he played it, but, you know, we've got choices from Main Road and Noel's Court at other points on this CD. So I'm going with Argentina, Buenos Aires, 2009. And the reason for that is it's the last track on the album, and it also corresponds with, you know, this being one of their last ever gigs, and maybe their last great gig, I think. I think that, you know, when you watch sort of a lot of that gig, it's really special. Yeah, a lot of the other gigs are quite moody and, you know, it's just disappointing, whereas this is just fantastic. Also, I know a lot of people maybe aren't as happy with Mark Feltham's harmonica playing in the earlier versions, whereas here sort of Gem takes over, and, you know, a lot of those melodies that would be covered by Mark Feltham's harmonica is sort of Gem's guitar playing. And I think that's great. You know, it is. But I do love Mark Feltham's harmonica. It does get a bit overpowering. So, yeah, Gem's guitar is a good option here. And the crowd is just incredible. What an amazing night. Obviously, like, people often talk about the Don't Look Back in Anger version, but that's really, really special. So there we go. That is my bonus disc of The Master Plan. Oasis, come on, guys. You could have done that. You know, yeah, it's probably going to cost you a few quid in, you know, contacting whoever owns the rights to The White Room and whoever owns the rights to some of those other gigs. But, you know, it would have been worth it. That would have sold. That definitely would have sold. And having those on Spotify and YouTube, they would have got loads of views. So that would have made you money in the end, I promise. But anyway, there we go. Oh, and I just wanted to dedicate this episode to a couple of people, actually. First off, someone you may have seen on Twitter who goes under Titanium Girl. She was actually called Isabel, and she was only 19 years old. And she really sadly died a few days ago. I assume her parents or someone has taken over her Twitter and explained that, she passed away 4 or 5 days ago as I'm recording this. She was really, really amazing on Twitter. She was, I know she, from pictures of her, she was in a wheelchair. I'm not sure what she had wrong with her. I know she was disabled, and she did a lot for sort of disabled gig access. She would constantly be rating albums, doing blog posts, both about, you know, supporting new music. I think the Brits and Pieces You know, she was really a big supporter of the Bits and Pieces CDs. I think she interviewed every band that has featured on that album, which is amazing. And, you know, and she'd always tag all the bands you might not think that actually you can offer much, but even, you know, she's been, you know, we had sort of bits of interactions on direct message and things over the years. And, you know, she was like from really young when she started doing this. And yet it shows, if you go out there, if you want to do a blog or support new music, if you tag the bands, you know, the majority of them will be really, really touched that you're doing it. You know, and so, yeah, and you can get a bit of a following, you know. So, yeah, it's everyone out there that goes out and supports new music. It is really appreciated. So, you know, if you, you know, follow the example of Isabel, if she's going to kind of, you know, she can give that inspiration as part of her legacy for people to go out and support new music. So, yeah, make sure you do that. And also, I just want to give a shout out to Susan, who's a patron from America. I know she's got some health concerns at the moment. So, Susan, you know, all our thoughts are with you at the moment. And I know you had put an amazing kind of video up of sort of music therapy of the guys there singing Wonderwall, which was beautiful. And yeah, and Bonehead, I think, gave you a bit of a shout out the other day. So this one's for you, Susan. All the best. All right, that will do it for today. Thank you very much for listening, everybody. Stay in touch, stay engaged, and stay young.